Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Mommy's the word, but we're telling everyone. It's BOGO 50% off time at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Just in time for Mother's Day, buy any pair of shoes, get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Treat mom or yourself to the perfect spring styles from must-own brands. And hurry. Unlike a mother's love, this deal won't last forever. So make mom proud and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's kind of dark in here, but I'm asked for a show of hands. Who saw that video from a couple of weeks ago? The one of the elephants at the San Diego Zoo during the earthquake? Google it if you've not seen it. So that scene has been on my mind. Everybody's asking me, what you've been thinking about these days? Well...
Yeah, have you missed that? It's back. Kamala Harris making her debut. I would not call it a triumphant debut, but she spoke out in California somewhere to some liberal group last night, and on the 100th day of Donald Trump's administration, and talked about elephants in a circle during an earthquake.
If we took a poll, what do people think is her political future? Does she run for governor of California? Is it because Gavin Newsom runs for president? I would just like to know what her dreams and hopes are, because from my understanding, she's already ruled out a presidential run. It would be silly for her to try to run. She did awful.
Well, minus her devastating loss in November, predictable and devastating loss in November, you have to say she's lived a blessed life as a politician, right? She's through favor and other things rose pretty quickly through the ranks of political office, right? From DA to senator to it helps to have people on the inside. That's all I'm saying.
But her career
trajectory has been pretty blessed. Everything she's run for, she's been successful at running for until she hit president. So I would not expect her to be deterred by that.
Well, that's my point, is to not underestimate her. I mean, the woman sounds kind of idiotic when she's talking in circles, and she doesn't have a stance on a lot of these key issues. But clearly there's some brain in there if she was able to be as successful as she has been. And that's the point I make about AOC, that we always want to discount these people because they come off to us like crazies because, well, the way they talk, but also just because their policies are ridiculous. But there's clearly, you have to have some level of intelligence to get to the point that both of those women have gotten to. You just do. You can act for so long, you can be groomed and all these things, they can coach you up, but at some point you have to have a little bit of a brain in order to be at that level.
Yep,
you just
this is a true fact. All right, so we're going to get to Jim Talent, former senator, coming up here shortly. We'll find out what he thinks about the 100th day of Donald Trump's presidency, as we've covered that this week. The debate on the tariffs yesterday and Rand Paul just going sideways on the president, and in fact voting along with all the Democrats to stop the president from issuing tariffs. So we'll find out what Senator Talent thinks about all that. We still got Shannon Bream and Griff Jenkins coming up just a little bit later. But first, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
This country is ours. It doesn't belong to whoever is in the White House.
Oh, there she is, Kamala, last night giving her big return speech. She was angry. She was reading off the prompter. She was talking about elephants.
Today I will be introducing the assault weapons ban of 2025, a bill that would ban the sale, manufacture, import, and transfer of military-style assault weapons.
I don't even know what to say there. Adam Schiff. Adam, do you do realize that because you have stopped somebody from making them briefly didn't decrease the number of them available in the United States, and criminals don't buy them brand new to begin with?
We had an office in the Department of State whose job it was to censor Americans. And by the way, I'm not going to say who it is. I'll leave it up to them. There's at least one person at this table today who had a dossier in that building of social media posts to identify them as purveyors of disinformation. We have these dossiers. We are going to be turning those over to these individuals.
Yeah, Marco Rubio was on fire yesterday in that cabinet meeting. He was cracking people up with some pretty funny jokes. Plus, that groundbreaking information that the Biden administration was building dossiers on its political opponents.
And in the coming weeks, we'll pass the largest tax cuts in American history. And I think even more so, we'll be doing things for business like you've never seen before.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday, I watched the news conference from Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer and all of these folks downplaying the 100 days, the accomplishments. I listened to a media interview this morning where they were like, yeah, well, you know, he signed more executive orders, but what has he really done? Well, I don't know. He's brought common sense back to the White House, so where you don't have to pretend that somebody is a woman when they're really a man. He's secured the border. I mean, you could go, the laundry list of things is so long. In fact, I don't know how you could possibly ignore it. It's something that's needed to have been done for 30 years now, and nobody's had the guts to do it. Listen to Trump, by the way, on the tariffs. It sounds like we're on the verge of a deal with India. If that's not announced today, I think it will be soon. Go to cut number 19 for me, Ethan.
It's time for the American people to be properly protected by somebody that knows what he's doing. And I know what I'm doing perfectly. It's a little complicated subject. I've got to explain it. I've got to have people that can explain it. But I can tell you that right now we have over 100 countries that are calling us like morning, noon, and night, dying to make a deal. We're in a great position of strength. We'll make great deals.
Yeah, so this is interesting because it's not unusual for these trade deals, like when they're working out something, to take 12 months, 18 months to get these things done. Mm-hmm. And suddenly we're expecting this to be fixed overnight. And that's probably not fair. But when it is fixed, the economy is going to take off like it's on jet fuel. All of this temporary setback and hand-wringing is... I'm surprised by the people who've gotten wrapped up in it. Some of the people I've had conversations with, yeah, but are tariffs really a good thing? I mean, isn't the consumer going to pay for that? Well, temporarily, that's exactly what's going to happen. And the president explained that when he did it. You can't get rid of these without a little bit of pain. The United States has been absolutely screwed by enemies and friends alike around the world for years because of our lax trade policies that Donald Trump is setting straight. You needed a businessman to come into office and do this. And I love the fact that he's honest about how people are going to be impacted by it. Go to cut 12, please.
They made $1 trillion with Biden, $1 trillion, even $1.1 trillion with Biden selling us stuff. Much of it we don't need. You know, somebody said, oh, the shelves are going to be open. Well, maybe the children will have 2 dolls instead of 30 dolls, you know. And maybe the 2 dolls will cost a couple of bucks more than they would normally. But we're not talking about something that we have to go out of our way. They have ships that are loaded up with stuff, much of which, not all of it, but much of which we don't need.
It's true. If you're looking at your Temu bill and you're complaining about it, you may be part of the problem. This is a short-term issue. The Chinese need the United States a lot more than the United States needs China. You don't need a $12 dress from China.
I do, Mark.
But you don't, really. I mean, you don't. You can live without that garbage. It's not a day-to-day need. And if you're inconvenienced by that for the next 5 or 6 months until we straighten this out at the end, you'll be getting that and more cheaper because the United States its manufacturers are not getting screwed anymore. This is going to bring an end to all of that. I have complete confidence in what's going on in this tariff policy right now. Coming up, we'll find out if Jim Talent does as well. I'm anxious to get his thoughts on what Senator Rand Paul said about all of this yesterday when he voted against the president. So we're going to get to that for you coming up on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Despite the constitutional restraints or constraints on executive power, Americans have now been ordered to pay higher taxes in the form of tariffs, but without the consent of Congress. The tariffs we discuss today are global tariffs. Just about every country in the world is subjected to at least a 10% tariff.
We've got former Missouri Senator Jim Talent on the line with us this morning, and always great having you back, Jim. That was, of course, Rand Paul. I think a lot of people will probably just recognize his voice these days. He voted against Donald Trump and the tariffs yesterday, along with two other Republican senators. Not that the House would have voted to support this idea, but the Senate came pretty close to voting against Donald Trump on these tariffs. How do you feel about that?
Well, I never begrudge anybody who is acting on the basis of their convictions, and that's what we have here if you look at it in the broadest sense. I mean, President Trump has believed in rebalancing trade for 40 years. That's his core belief, and of course, Senator Paul is very much a libertarian and therefore doesn't like tariffs, and they had a debate about it, and the president ended up winning that one. So this is a really interesting policy question. My own feeling has been if the president can get these trade agreements he's negotiating with most of the world, this is going to be a big positive for us. I mean, how can it not be? I mean, we're going to have the global 10% tariff to benefit manufacturing going forward, which needs it. If you look at, I mean, Mark, it's a big subject, but if you look at what happened to manufacturing in the aughts, it was devastating, and that hurts the whole economy. You can't create if you can't make things. And then we're going to have trade deals with most of the world, and China will be isolated. That's where Trump is trying to go, and I think it's worth getting there. So if I'd been there, I'd have voted with the administration. But again, this is what Senator Paul believes, and he's entitled to advocate on behalf of his beliefs.
Yeah, you know, I'm interested to get your thoughts on this. Obviously, you do some work with the Reagan Institute. Yeah. Ronald Reagan was a free market guy, and he espoused that in many different ways. He had issues with how the Japanese were dealing with the American car industry, and he took some action on that when he was president. But the argument is that, well, if you're truly a conservative, Rand Paul started this speech off by saying there was a time when conservatives were opposed to taxes and tariffs are only taxes. And I don't understand why we're doing this here. But if we have an unfairness to address, I mean, Reagan would have been in support of that as well, wouldn't he?
Yes, this is not, I didn't know he said that. It's and people say things rhetorically. This is not a litmus test for conservatism. I mean, I'm a conservative. I voted against NAFTA. There's a long history in the country of imposing tariffs for a whole set of reasons, some of them national security, some of them economic, some of them a mix. Now, you mentioned Reagan. Reagan not only imposed tariffs under threat of punitive tariffs, he got the Japanese to agree to an absolute quota.
Right.
I mean, the Japanese just agreed that they would not export more than a certain number of cars to the United States, and as a result, they invested very heavily in manufacturing in the United States, which is why we have so many Toyotas produced in the United States. So that's what Trump is aiming for. I hope he gets there. I believe he can get there. But now it's the job of his trade representative, his commerce secretary, Secretary Bessent, and the others to get these deals negotiated. So, again, I would say if you say give a grade on this, I would say it's very much incomplete. We're really at the beginning of the semester, and we have to see.
Jim, what do you think of this minerals deal that the United States just struck with Ukraine, and what possible implications do you think that could have on there finally being peace over there?
That's the way we're going to provide security to Ukraine, which is because we can't get a deal with an explicit security guarantee. We might have gotten one 2 years ago when Ukraine was winning on the battlefield.
Right.
But Putin is winning now. So by extending and deepening these economic ties, we get an informal but very effective security guarantee. And Kim, guarantees, it's not promises that keep security. It's power and interest. Mm-hmm. And that's what Trump's trying to build. The issue here, and I've said this since I wrote arguing for an agreement 2 years ago, the problem is going to be to get Putin to the table. I think the president's going to have to pull the trigger on some of these, like sanctions against oil, or extending the sanctions against oil or against Russian banks, or Putin is going to continue doing what he's doing, and we're not going to get an agreement. So that's what I'm waiting for there. And the two big foreign policy issues in the next 60 days or so are, what is Trump going to do to punish Russia, frankly, for its obstinacy, and whether we're going to support the Israelis in an attack on Iran's nuclear infrastructure.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and I think the latter has to happen eventually. We have an unparalleled opportunity, I think, to eliminate what would be the biggest threat in the Middle East and probably to the world. And again, I'm hoping that the president hates to go to war, which is a good thing, but sometimes it's necessary.
Well, just to boil it down, Jim, to my understanding of it is the security aspect of this is Ukraine's not a member of NATO. If they were, then an attack right. against Ukraine would be an attack against NATO. But if they have this agreement with the U.S., the understanding would be an attack against an American plant that's put in there to get minerals out would be an attack, would involve the U.S., right?
Well, it's not only that. It's, when I said interest, if we have an interest, and the West has a big interest in Ukraine's territorial integrity, the security will follow that, okay? And that's the best that we can do for Ukraine at this point, because they're losing. I mean, you know, I'm gonna paraphrase Churchill. In war, it's sometimes necessary to take into account the battlefield. Okay, so the issue, though, because Putin is gradually winning on the battlefield, he doesn't want an agreement, and he's making maximalist demands. And so we have to figure out how to increase the consequences to him of his obstinacy. And I think continued military aid to Ukraine, as well as increasing the pain on the Russian economy, is the way to get there. So this is the issue for the president. He's getting increasingly frustrated with Putin, but we'll see how he pulls the trigger.
Well, we should find out shortly. I would think this agreement was sort of the linchpin to the conclusion of these negotiations.
Very,
I would hope.
Yeah, it's very important, Mark. I mean, he's got Zelensky on board now, which he needed to do, and that was mostly Zelensky's fault to this point.
Yeah.
But now he's got to get Putin to want an agreement, and we're going to see how he does it.
Jim Talent, thank you as always. Have a great week.
Okay, bye-bye.
You bet. Good to get his thoughts on that. I agree with him. I mean, I think that now that this thing's inked, the deal that Zelensky pushed back on, now you have a chance to get something done, I think, in terms of a peace agreement. We will see. Coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim and Shannon Bream from Fox News Sunday. All right, mentioned this just a little bit earlier, but the if you're in the Rockwood School District, there's something you need to know about that's taking place at your board meeting tonight. And I don't know, I bring it up because if I was a parent with a child in this school, I would be concerned about this. They are in the process of hiring a counselor at Wild Horse Elementary School, specifically out there in Rockwood. And it's come to the attention of a couple of the parent groups in the area that the individual involved here is trans, I guess?
I would maybe? Think.
Based on the pictures I'm seeing on social media profiles here, that would be the best way I would look at it. Certainly a man who dresses as a woman.
Well, paints his nails and wears makeup.
All of that stuff. And obviously would be dressing like that in the school. And so I guess even at a high school, I would be a little more concerned about it. But at that point, you're dealing with children who at some level are more mature and can understand, maybe could understand what's going on there. But Kim, I guess if I was a parent at an elementary school, and when we had the whole issue at WashU with the transgender clinic that's now shut down, when we had that whole issue and the whistleblower came forward, one of the things they talked about was counselors in the Parkway School District, specifically at some of the middle schools, where they were getting clusters of young girls from the same schools who were being influenced by their school counselor, and social contagion set in where they suddenly, a large group of them, and I say large, but I think if there's three or four kids at one school that suddenly all decide they're a different gender, that's social contagion.
I would say so.
And they were being sent to this clinic to be evaluated for whether or not they would be given hormone blockers or whatever the treatment might be.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would worry about more than anything, particularly in a elementary school situation.
That's my concern, too, is you're hearing cases of these kids as young as, you know, 8, 9, who are questioning their sexuality, questioning their gender. Was I born in the right body? And the fear would be that someone like this, if this counselor, I guess, is approved tonight, would be that he would affirm them. And maybe they decide to go by a different name or a different pronoun at school. And that this counselor, despite being told he's supposed to, opts not to inform the parents. Now, what I'm a little confused about is the process of this. My understanding of how this works when a counselor works for a particular school is that the principal of that school, or maybe the superintendent, but most likely the principal, would be the one to hire that person. Why, in this case, is it that the board's voting on this particular candidate?
Well, because the board has to approve the position.
So, like, is there not a school counselor right now?
Well, then maybe they're replacing someone there.
But that's what I'm confused. So are you saying that at all schools then, the school boards vote on the counselors? I thought that
the principal
hired him and the board had no say.
So here's the board agenda for tonight, May 1st, 2025. A certified personnel new hires. It lists the individual's name, the grade and subject they would be teaching, and the school in which they would be teaching at. So there's a first grade teacher here for Eureka Elementary. There's a kindergarten teacher for Westridge Elementary. There's a counselor for Lafayette High School being hired tonight. A phys ed teacher for Lafayette High School. A fifth grade teacher at Green Pine. So it's covering a lot of different categories. Several of them happen to be counselors. This particular counselor is being hired at a salary that of the ones listed here, it's the highest one listed here, $63,000 a year as a counselor at Wild Horse Elementary School.
I just didn't know those positions had to go before the school board. I thought that was
pretty
totally
normal.
Separate.
Oh, no. I mean...
So that's not just Rockwood.
The money has to be appropriated, and the contracts have to be approved by the Board of Education. So, you know, I would argue that you get what you vote for. If this situation has been brought up, what are they afraid of? A discrimination lawsuit or something because you choose to wear a dress to school? Parents don't have the right to say, I don't want my child subjected to that. My kid's mm-hmm. going to come home and say, my counselor talks like a man, but he dresses like a woman. You're talking about 5th, 6th, 7th graders here, right?
Through fifth grade. Yeah.
Through fifth grade. Right.
It's hard because, you know, I don't think it's appropriate, but that's my own personal opinion because I don't agree with that lifestyle. It's hard because the person obviously has a right to work, and you could argue shouldn't be discriminated against. The difficult part is, well, is this the right setting? Legally speaking, where can you draw the line? Where can you say, hey, this isn't the right fit? Because then this person, if this guy was not approved by the board for this counseling position,
probably
he would sue and say I was discriminated. So I guess that's the hard thing is, sure, they should be able to get a job. Just because you're trans doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to get a job. Now, I don't agree with your lifestyle, but you should be able to work. But is the right fit for you in elementary school and a counselor role of all things? I don't know.
Right.
It's just, these are so tough, and it's frustrating seeing this happen time and again in districts all across the St. Louis area.
Well, here's the problem, is that this just popped up as an issue on social media websites in the Rockwood District this week, and came to the attention of most people. The hiring's already been done. Tonight is sort of a rubber stamp. There won't be, to my knowledge, any individual discussion of this tonight at the board meeting. They will present this slate of 10 or 11 hires. The board will vote on it, and then it's official. So you, as members of the public, you probably won't get any input on this. You could certainly show up tonight to the board meeting and express your concerns. And then they'll look you in the face, your elected officials, and tell you, we can't discuss that because it's a personnel matter. They'll hide behind the personnel matter of it instead of the very real issue of the fact that you have elected people to a board who are predominantly liberal, supported by the NEA and this Rockwood School District. They support all of this woke DEI, LGBTQ plus curriculum. It's right on their website. That is the National Education Association. Go look for it for yourself. They do free trainings right on their website. It's what we warned you about during the school board races, that if you vote for somebody who's endorsed by the Missouri NEA, you're also voting for somebody that has those values, or they wouldn't accept that endorsement. Right? Would you, if you were an anti-gunner, would you accept the endorsement of the NEA? Probably not. So if you do accept it, then you accept the things that organization stands mm-hmm. for. There's no way around that. They offer free curriculum training during the year for NEA members and MONEA members, where they can learn how to manipulate these issues into their curriculum in their classroom without the parents' knowledge. That's what they're doing. That's why school board elections matter. So in Rockwood, Izzy Emig is gone because of a whole separate issue. And the people that were the only two left on the ballot were, although the NEA didn't endorse in Rockwood this year, are the pro-NEA candidates. And this is what you're left with. You'll have a board tonight that wouldn't dare question any of these hires because nobody's got the intestinal fortitude to do it. But what you're going to end up with is an individual that is in an inappropriate environment if they've got kindergarten through fifth graders being exposed to this every day with a guy walking down the hallway in a dress.
And you're saying, which makes sense, is that tonight's meeting with these candidates will be more of a formality. So they're not
formality.
Not interviewing the candidates.
Nope.
The candidates
nope.
have been hired. They're more so going to be saying something like, does the board approve the funding of X
of
amount of money
10...
for this role? Yes, we approve. They might not even say the person's name, or they might not. There will be no interview process. The parents who attend these meetings won't be learning anything about the candidates or, like you said, asking them questions.
I was told by a former board member, it's just a formality. It'll be presented, and it'll be voted on as a slate, and there will not be any individual discussion of what's going on here tonight.
To approve funding.
They will approve it at the meeting tonight. Yeah.
Let's see what happens. I mean,
parents at Wild Horse Elementary School, just be warned. This is unfortunately what the voters have voted for in Rockwood, and it's sad to see that in that district.
Yeah. And
really
many
is.
Districts.
Coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just saw this morning here within the last probably 30 minutes that the Army has already surpassed its reenlistment goal. I mean, this is phenomenal. The fiscal year ends September, the end of September. And again, they've already exceeded that. You have to attribute that to what's going on and who is now in control of the White House. I want to dig into that a little bit deeper.
All right. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
Well, I have to tell you, I was pretty happy to see Fox News reporting just this morning within the last half hour that the Army has already surpassed its fiscal year 2025 reenlistment goal. So here's what they've done. They've already retained 15,600 soldiers, which is 800 more than the 14,800 target. And keep in mind that the fiscal year ends on September 30th of this year. So they still have months to go, and they've already exceeded their target, which is pretty impressive. And you have to ask yourself, okay, well, why do we think that is? The obvious answer is people feel the sense of pride again for our country that they probably haven't felt for the last 4 years. They didn't like the direction of our country. Even people who never lost that sense of pride for our country when Biden was in office, they didn't feel confident about our defense, about the federal government and the direction that they were leading the troops and some of the policies that were in place, and maybe didn't really feel comfortable joining. So I'm so encouraged about this. This is a huge deal because this is about our national security. And when you're hearing about all the things happening around the world with you know, Hamas and all these illegals pouring into our country, it is so crucial that we have a solid military.
I just Googled it because I had to read the headlines, right? AP News, Trump credited with rising military recruitment, but growth started before his reelection. This is what, and PBS, with your taxpayer dollars, partially funded, by the way, Army to meet 2025 recruiting goals in dramatic turnaround, denies wokeness is a factor. Now, do you have any doubt as to why this turned around? And if it turned around before he got sworn into office, it's because they knew he was getting sworn into office. I remember a couple of years ago, I ran a video. Of course, it had an interpreter on it because it was a Russian video promoting their military. And it was, you know, these big, strong, muscular men doing drills and doing push-ups and lifting weights and rappelling out of helicopters and all of that. And then it compared and contrasted it to a recruiting video for the United States Army, which was focused on transgender recruits in military academies somewhere and talking about how diversity is our strength and all this BS. And that's not why people go into the military. Mm-hmm. The military is not a social experiment. It's not a social petri dish. It's there for one reason, to kill our enemies, period, to deter our enemies. And there's no doubt in my mind that that's why recruitment dropped under the Biden administration. People didn't want to walk into an environment where they may say one wrong word during a training session and get put up on charges because they misgendered somebody. That's not a thing.
Mm-hmm. If Kamala Harris were president, they'd probably go as far as to show, you know, the Army, and they're learning how to knit. You know, that you also get to fight, but as part of it, you get to learn other skills like knitting and crocheting and, you know, making potholders and things like that. It was like they were so wrapped up in things that did not matter and were not important and were taking away from the main goal of the military, which is to protect us. Now, if you do go back to 2024, it does say that they exceeded their fiscal year 2024 recruiting goals. So that's probably what they're trying to say as well. You know, technically, Biden was still in office when they were meeting these goals and exceeding it. We were already trending upward. To your point, though, well, maybe there was some excitement that his term was ending there would be a changing of the guard, which obviously there was.
And the other thing was the other thing that was hurting them was not just a lack of being able to recruit, but a lack of being able to keep people. People weren't re-upping once they were in the middle of this mess. Mm-hmm. And now that's going to turn around as well, which it couldn't be turning around at a better time, quite honestly, given the challenges we face around the world, including from China.
Well, and a number of these guys who had put their lives on the lines for us were told, hey, because you won't get the COVID shot, you can't even serve anymore. You want to serve our country, but we're not going to allow you to do so because you won't get some stupid vaccine that hadn't even been properly tested. Which was bogus. And weren't they then offering anyone who had been told that to come back?
They could come back and get back pay, I think. Mm-hmm.
Well, and good for them. That's exactly how it should be. They should receive back pay.
Yes.
I mean, it was pathetic that was even a thing. Really? You're going to lose people who want to serve our country because not everyone wants to do that. There are people who are actually willing and wanting to do that, and you're telling them a stupid shot is going to prevent them from doing that?
Well, this is fantastic news. Now, these were just Army numbers, right? Is that right?
These were just Army numbers.
So I don't know what the overall recruiting numbers are, but my guess is they're going to gain across
all branches, I would think.
All military services, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great news, and it makes me feel safer, honestly, knowing that we're building up our military again. When I just Googled it, it says the U.S. Navy is also experiencing a boost in recruiting numbers, showing strong trends for fiscal year 2025.
It was up 12.5% overall for all of the military branches. This particularly eye-popping number was from the Army, where they had already exceeded their goal long before they got to the date. They had, thanks to the very robust 30,000 signups in December. They had 30,000 signups in December. So that gives you an idea of what's going on here, and it's heading in the right direction.
Yeah, Navy recruited just over 14,000 people in just the first 4 months of fiscal year 2025.
By the way, just so people know, a little bit of breaking news here from Fox this morning. Steve Doocy has announced that he's not stepping away from Fox completely, but apparently he's cutting back to a much more relaxed semi-retirement schedule so he can spend more time with his grandkids.
And
Good for him.
The guy was just saying how many hours he's done live TV. What was it?
31,000 hours or something like that.
So, much deserved.
So they're giving him pickleball paddles right now, so he has something to do in his spare time.
Did you say that was an old person sport? Was that you who was saying that?
I know that's a stereotype, but the surgeons who have to repair joints are loving pickleball because all these people are getting injured.
How'd you get
trying
hurt,
to
sir?
Do this.
Pickleball.
Coming up, Shannon Bream and our friend Griff Jenkins. Stay tuned.